bless you, saints. Is my voice there?
Yes, Brian.
Yeah, thank you. God bless you, brother and sister. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. We sing one song. We have come into his house. Just forget about yourself. Concentrate on him. That's our desire this evening, that he will be worshipped and glorified. Amen. And after this song, I think Pastor will open the word of prayer. Amen. We have come into his house, gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into his house, gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into his house, gathered in his name to worship Christ the Lord. Oh, worship Christ the Lord. Just forget about yourself, concentrate on him and worship him. Just forget about yourself, concentrate on him and worship him. Just forget about yourself, concentrate on him and worship Christ the Lord. Oh, worship Christ the Lord. Let us lift up holy hands, magnify his name and worship him. Let us lift up holy hands, magnify his name and worship him. Let us lift up holy hands, magnify his name and worship Christ the Lord. Oh, worship Christ the maybe once more last verse, let us lift up holy hands. Let us lift up holy hands, magnify his name and worship him. Let us lift up holy hands, magnify his name and worship him. Let us lift up holy hands, magnify his name and worship Christ the Lord. Oh, worship Christ the Lord.
Shalom saints, God bless. Welcome to our Watch Night service for 2021. So thankful to the Lord for his faithfulness to every single one of us in this year gone by. How wonderful it is to have an opportunity. I'm glad to have an opportunity to come to magnify his name this evening, to appreciate him, to be one of the lepers that comes back to say thank you to the Lord this evening for his manifold mercies that he showed to us this year. So welcome to our program for this evening. May the Lord lead us and guide us in all things. We have three ministers speaking this evening. We're going to have some worship, then around 8:30, we're going to have Brother Eli is going to speak first. Then at about coming on to 10, we're going to have Brother Max Jr. And then at about 11 or so, we're going to have Brother Max Sr. So we're going to have three people speaking first this evening. In between, thank you, saints, for the blessing that you've ministered. We have 15 different testimonies and items. So we'll be singing now and we'll have a few specials before 8:30. And while we're worshiping, the song leaders and Brother Wilmore will be helping us there to put different testimonies and items. So we thank the Lord for that. So let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. We'd like to remember Denzel as well this evening. He's in hospital, we've heard. We want to put that before the Lord. We welcome Sister Susan. Welcome back from Poland, Sister. God bless you richly. And we do welcome each and every one. So let's bow our heads. Father, we want to set ourselves aside now. And we want to commit this service into your hands. That, Father, all that would be said and all that would be done, that you would overshadow it and that you would help us, Lord. Father, praying for the song leader, your blessing upon him. Praying for them that would minister this night. Speak unto us, Lord. You know the things that we need to hear. And Father, our hope and our expectation is in you, that as you've been so faithful to us through this year, Father, we know that you'll be with us even upon this evening. Bless the specials, bless the people that have given testimony, bless them that have used their gifts to submit items, Lord. Father, may you bless them and minister to your people in them and be glorified, we pray. Father, be with us in all that is said. Be with us in all that is done. We just want your name to be lifted up, Lord. May you help us with the technology. Help the ministers as they minister. Help, Father, everything that would be said and done this night. We commit it to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless it.
We have three items to be sung. Just maybe we will just sing one more song. This is like heaven to me. We find many people. We are happy people. Amen. We belong there, even this evening. So, and I think Brother Vilmo will arrange first item to be sung. Amen. We find many people who can't understand why we are so happy and free. We crossed over Jordan to Canaan's far land, and this is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. Yes, this is like heaven to me. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's far land, and this is like heaven to me. So when we are happy, we sing and we shout. Some don't understand, as you see. We are filled with a spirit, there is no doubt, and this is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. Yes, this is like heaven to me. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's far land, and this is like heaven to me. We heard the sweet music, the heavenly chord, from glory land over the sea. A soul thrilling message from Jesus our Lord, and this is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. Yes, this is like heaven to me. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's far land, and this is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. Yes, this is like heaven to me. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's far land, and this is like heaven to me.
Don't let your heart be troubled. He that believes in God and me.
Amen. Amen. Sister Dube, maybe we can split song into just verse and chorus, and then we will ask next item, just to gain a little bit of time. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. This evening, it's a good opportunity to do that. Amen. Testify about Lord. When upon life's pillow you are pent and tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done.
You are the miracle. You are. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, sisters. Amen. May God bless you. Maybe we can continue second verse. And I think it's casual family after this one. Amen. Are you ever burdened by the load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every down be you fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done.
Real is majesty, so I
Amen. What greatest thing can be? Jesus in our heart. Amen. 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 Brother, if you can find that song, as the deer panted for the water, so my soul panted after you. Amen. As the deer panted for the water, so my soul longed after you. Alone are my heart, desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You're my friend, and you are my brother, even now you are king. I love you more than others, so much more than anything. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. I want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy. You alone are the joy giver and the apple of my eye. My shield, to you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength, my shield, to you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. I bless your name, I bless your name, in prisoner's chain, with bleeding strife. Paul and Silas prayed at night, and in their pain began to sing. Their chains were loose and they were free. I bless your name, I bless your name, I give you honor, I give you praise. You are the life, the truth, the way. I bless your name, I bless your name. Some midnight hour, if you should find you're in the prison in your mind, reach out and praise. Defy those chains and they will fall. Jesus' name. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor. I give you praise. You are the light that turns the way. I bless your name. I bless your name. So if you find God in your life, you're in the midst of times so hard, reach out by faith to heights unknown, and you will find you're not alone. I bless your name, I bless your name. I give you honor, I give you praise. You are the light that turns the way. I bless your name. I bless your once more. I bless your name. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor. I give you praise. You are the light that turned away. I bless your name, I bless your name.
Shalom, and God bless you, saints. We are really blessing His name. We are really blessing His name for seeing this day again, the last day of 2021. But by the way you are singing, it's as if you are not really blessing His name. You know, I can see some families on the screens here. When someone is really blessing His name, you can feel that someone is blessing. You know, worship is an expression. Worship is an expression of a realization. You know, true worship comes from, you know, an awareness, a realization of what the person you are worshiping is. And if you really come to hit that revelation of who you are worshiping and why you should worship Him, if you come really to understand that this being is the one that made me, I didn't exist anywhere. I wasn't in existence, but Him in His by His own will, by His own free will, He decided not only to make me, but to make me a marvelous being. And out of that realization, you will worship. And when they say, I bless your name, you will really bless your name. But when it's just, you know, a box ticking, you know, ah, brother so-and-so was in church that day. You didn't see me, I came to church, no? Yeah, if you want someone to see you, then you will sing for someone to see you. But if you came to worship, you will really worship. And after this, we believe that we're going to see true worship, because maybe, you know, you're still bound by what happened in 2021. You lost your job. Maybe you didn't realize what you were expecting. Maybe things didn't really work the way you were planning. Just forget about that. We are now standing in the presence of the Most High, the one who made us. And let's really give Him thanks. It's a good thing to finish the year in his presence and to start the new year in his presence. But as I said, let it just not be a formality. Let it be really a time of worship. Because if you just realize what he has done for us, you know, just see the statistics, how many have been killed by Delta, by Omicron, by many different, you know, flooding here and there, the storms here and there, many have died, but we are alive. It's one of the reasons we should just really praise him and give him thanks, a heartful praise, not something that we do just, you know, to tick the boxes. Amen. We really praise the Lord. We thank him. How many are happy to praise the Lord with me? Amen. Amen. So we really praise the Lord for what has been done so far. The items, special ones, Sister Dube and the family over there. I could see Ruti on the piano, and she's mastering the instrument more and more. God bless you richly. Tomorrow, really, we want to see you guys taking over when we are not at that. If I say I'm old, Brother Max, well, I don't know what he would say. But tomorrow, if there is a tomorrow, it will be you people that will be taking over the pulpit, you know, the song leading instruments and so far. So we really praise the Lord for that. We thank the Lord for all the items. Now we are going to speak about some little thought that we had. The other singers as well, Brother Mike's children, Brother Wilmore's daughters, you know, and Brother George's family, God bless you. So let's open our Bibles in Matthew chapter 25. From verse 14 to 30. It's going to be quite a lengthy one, but just bear with me. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and reckoned with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and bought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that has received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou hast delivered unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things, and enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strowed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talents in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strowed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming they should have received mine own with usury. Then take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which had 10 talents. For unto everyone that has shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that has not shall be taken away even that which he has. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this last day of the year. We thank you for making it possible for us. We can see, as we can count our numbers in church, oh Lord, no one is missing. The same that started the year are still there, oh Lord. You have blessed us with more people, oh Lord. You have blessed us with more birds in our midst, but no one has been taken away. We thank you for that. And we commit this coming year into your hand. Bless us more, O Lord. Keep each and every one of us as we share these few words from you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. God bless you. For our short exhortation, we are going to share around the topic, Teach Us to Number Our Days. Later on, we are going to read in Psalms 90. Just get it ready from 1 to 12. But for now, let's speak about these talents. You know, I found we could match these two scriptures and to apply them to our life as we are in the service of the Lord. You know, this man, what we have read here, it has been given. The master called his servant and gave them according to their abilities. You know, he was the master. He knew each of his servants and he knew how much he can trust each one of them. So to one, he gave 5. To another, he gave 2 because he was able to manage 2. To another, he gave 1 because he knew he was able to manage 1. And the first two, the one that took 5 and the one that took 2, they went and they used their abilities to make, you know, to make profit, to make it profitable to the purpose they were serving. But the other one, this is the one we are going to focus more on today. He didn't make the abilities, the resources he was given to, you know, to profit to the kingdom of his master. Why? That's why what we are going to try and understand now and put ourselves in the, you know, in that, in those conditions to understand exactly our responsibility. Because I believe that man, I don't know. He may have been disappointed to see. And I think it must be something coming from human consideration. How come to that one they gave 5, to the other one they give 2, and to me he gives 1? So does he really trust me? Or he doesn't really, how does he have any consideration for me? And out of that frustration, that man went, instead of using what he was given to make profit and to benefit to the kingdom, he went and hid it. And not only he hid it, it was not just he was hidden, but he worked against the purpose he was working for. So it's very important for us to understand that, as the prophet says, I think the Bible says it so, there's no idle person in the house of the Lord. Idleness in the house of the Lord is a negative force. The person that goes and hides his talents, what you are given, Instead of using it for the kingdom, you go and hide it. That's not only a, there's no neutrality in the kingdom. It's whether you are positive or you are negative, or you are bringing something, or you are stopping, you know, the machine from moving forward. So this man, maybe he thought, it's okay for me, let me just go hide my talent, and the Lord, when he comes, I'll give him back his talent. But it was not profitable to the kingdom. It was even a hindrance to the fulfillment of the purpose for which he was working. Sometimes we take our talents. God gives us our talents, but we don't put it to the profit of the kingdom. We think, okay, I'll just sit idle and I won't harm anyone. But I will show you tonight that that idleness, that laziness is not a neutral force, is a negative force. You are stopping a job to be done somewhere. And that man, maybe, you know, is so, even in our understanding today, when we say one talent, we think maybe it's 1 cent. You know, we think maybe it's 10 cents in our euro money here. But when you go and study the Bible and do the research, you find that that one talent was not nothing. It was big money. If they give you today, in today's money, if they give you one talent, you'll stop working. Because according to the Bible, you know, theologians, they say one talent under those days' money is equivalent today to 20 years of wages to an average worker. Just realize it. One talent was an equivalent to 20 years of work for an average worker. So if we put it to Ireland standards today, it may represent something between 500,000 to 1 million euro. You get the point? So that one talent was not nothing. That one talent was not 1 cent that he puts in his pocket. That one talent was, you know, in today's money, it would represent between 500,000 and 1 million euro. God, you know, the master gives that man that money to go and work with it, which is a big money. But instead of considering that the master trusted me according to my abilities with 1 million euros, no, he looks at the one who have 5 million. That's our mistake. That's what we make as a big mistake as children of God, as believers. Because we start considering what does brother so-and-so have? What does sister so-and-so have? And you fail to consider what God has trusted you with. It's human nature. Most of the time, instead of accepting what you have, you know, you have prayed for a car, God give you a car, you start looking at the other brother's car, you say, oh, if only I had that Toyota Corolla, you know, the hybrid one, electric engine. The time you get that electric engine, you start looking at the other brother who has a different kind of car. That's human nature. And spiritually, it applies as well. In every realm of life, God has blessed us with different gifts and different talents. That's why God, we have different backgrounds. That's why we have had different bringings. We came out of different families. Why? Because God knew that he needs a certain character in you according to what he's going to give you as talents, as gifts, as influence around people. But most of the time, we start looking at others. Even in the ministry world, ministers start competing with each other. Such minister want to be like the other minister. You know, the evangelist wants to be a pastor. The pastor wants to be a teacher. If you are not a teacher, leave it alone. And it will never work for you. But one who is a pastor, he will be more successful in that realm, in that area, more than you. You are a teacher. Keep teaching the way. Amen. We don't want to enter into that. But the thing is, once you start, you don't value what you are given, you won't use it for the purpose of the kingdom. You won't use it for the common good. Because if God gives different gifts, the fivefold, different spiritual gifts, different talents, different abilities, different characters in the body of Christ, all that has to be used for the common good. All that must be used for the, you know, the building of the kingdom. But once you start to, you know, underestimating, once you start to not considering the value of what you have, you won't use it. That's exactly what this man did. Instead of taking what he has and go and use the abilities he has been given to make that money, you know, build up, he just went and said, no, since I don't have a gift like Brother George, since I don't have a gift like Brother Mike, so I'm going to hide my gift. You know, instead of going to church today, you know, I'm not even a minister. I'm not a minister. Why should I go? Brother Eli is there. Brother Maxwell is there. Brother Vladimir is there. They will do the job. You take your talents instead of being there to support, because that talent, God gave it to you to support the main purpose of being there to support the ministry. You say, no. Since I'm not a minister, since God didn't give me five talents, I'm going to hide my talents. Wednesday night, let's go to church. You don't go to church. Friday, let's go to church. You don't come to church. Why? You say, I have only one talent. Let me go and hide it. Let me go and keep it instead of making it work for the common good. That one talent, God needs it to support the ministry. That one talent, God needs it. Maybe God just gave you the power to testify. That big minister that you consider big who have five talents, if you don't testify to people, he won't have people to preach to. So your job with your one talent is to go out there and testify to people and bring them to church, and the minister will use his five talents to make 10 talents. But what do we do with our talents? Sorry. What do we do with our talents? Instead of using your talent to be there, excuse me, I'm going to talk about again today about being on church, to church on time. Because it hasn't finished that disease in the church. Instead of using your talents to come on to church on time to support the ministry, you take your talent, you go and hide it. Why? Because the master didn't give me. I'm not a song leader. So why should I be on time in church? Because it's the job of the song leader and the janitor and the trustees to be there on time. I've just one talent. Let me hide my talent. I can go to church, you know, when the pastor started preaching already. It doesn't hinder anything. But remember, there is no idol. There is no, there's no idol. There shouldn't be idol people in the body of Christ. Every element is important. Every member is important. So your late coming to church, your lack of coming to church, you are just like that man who took his talent and went and hid it. Why? Sometimes you don't realize it. Sometimes in your subconscious, you just say, oh, I don't have five talents. Let me hide my one talent. But God will hold you accountable for that. God will hold you accountable for that. If God gave you that one talent, which is not nothing. Remember, I said here, what you have there, what you consider as a small thing, one talent, in money, it represents millions of euros. Spiritually, that what you have, that ability you have, those abilities, those, you know, that character to influence people, to testify to people, you can talk, you can sing, you have that gift of, you know, Whatever God has given you, it's not nothing. It's something that you can use for the kingdom of God. Don't consider it as nothing. And every gift, every single member God has put in the church, it must have his role. And you must come to realize why you are there for. And play your role. And play your role. Amen. Because if you don't play your role, remember, you are playing against the team. There is no neutral position. You are whether playing to score or you are playing to score on goals in your own team. Remember that. Let's just take a few examples so that you can understand that when God gives you a talent, it's because of one cause, to support one cause. If you are not playing the role God gave you, you are playing against that role. In David's family, God gave David 5 talents. He was a man blessed with many gifts and kingdom. You know, he was to become the king. But to his brethren, God gave maybe only 1 talent or half a talent or 2 talents. Sometimes you become jealous because God blessed your brother with many talents. It makes you to become jealous. That 1 talent God gave David's brethren was not to start fighting David. That 1 talent was to help David to fulfill his purpose. But when David got the revelation that I have 5 talents, I have to use my 5 talents for the kingdom of God. The people that didn't realize that they've got 1 talent to support David, they started using their 1 talent to combat David. They started using their one talent to discourage David. God has given you that ability to lead song to support the ministry. God has given you that ability to sew clothes. We can see in church there, we have sisters, we have, you know, those curtains behind there. They are helping us a lot. That's the talent God gave those sisters to do those things in church. These are people that God has made just to make tiles in church. They are good at that. And you don't even realize it, but that's what God has put them. That's the talent God has given them to support the ministry. But instead of you, instead of David's brethren doing what they were required to do, they started fighting the ministry with their talents. They started discouraging the ministry. David, you are naughty. Who told you to come here? David has got the revelation of what to do with his talent. What you have to do is support David. Amen. We don't have much time to expand on these things. Joseph's brethren, same thing. To Joseph, God gave 5 talents. Maybe to Reuben, he gave 1. Maybe to Levi, he gave 1.5. Maybe to this one, he gave so much. Instead of them, you know, making their talents to work, to minister towards Joseph so that he will be, you know, the head of the family and save them the day. No. They started using, they took their talents, they went and hid it. And remember, hiding talents doesn't mean it doesn't do any harm. When you hide your talents, you are fighting against your camp. And they started manifesting what was in them because of jealousy. Because they didn't realize that this our brother, God gave him these 5 talents. And our 1, 2, half talents, its role is to gather around this gift so that we can provide him with the necessary, you know, resources so that he can make his 5 talents fruitful and it will benefit all of us. You are not a nobody in the church of God, my brother. My sister, you are not a nobody. You are something. You are very important in the body. Realize it. You are very important and you have to play your role. We have to play our role. Amen. As we start a new year, as we are going into the new year, we are just conscious that we have to keep up with the time. But just let's, you know, understand these principles. as we lay our foundation to enter the new year, play your role. God has given you some wonderful gifts. You sing songs. You play instruments. Use it for the kingdom of God. It may just be that half talent that God has given you, but it is important to help the ministry. Because if you sing a nice, good song before the minister comes to the pulpit, it may change the whole atmosphere, and that day someone may be so saved by the preaching of the word, not only because the minister preached a good sermon, but because you created a good atmosphere. Let's realize that. My brother, my sister, let's realize who we are and let's fully play our role. It's not the job only of the minister to bring the Holy Spirit in the church. It's not the job only the minister's wife, because sisters, they'll say, oh, you know, I'm not a deacon's wife, so I can go anytime I like. You know, I'm not a pastor's wife, you know. It's up to the pastor's wife to dress correctly. I'm not a pastor's wife. But remember, you are just hiding your talent and you are working against our team, because people will see you with your hidden talents, with your immoral clothes. They say, look at the people that go to that church. You are not neutral. You are playing against the team. You have hidden your talents, but you are playing against our team. So let's just consider these things. Let's consider these things as we are going to read the last scripture before I have a few slides that we'll go through, because we are talking about numbering our days. So you'll bear with me. We are going to do some numbers. You know, sometimes we do numbers. God himself asked him to number our days. So we are going to do some maths, not to understand a little bit what time management. How do we manage our time? As we have finished our year, we just want to bring these things to our remembrance, to make ourselves aware of how to afford the new year. Because God has given us those resources that we have, you know. The God has given you that gift of preaching, gift of a Sunday school teacher, gift of a music instrument player, you know, technician and so forth. But God has given us time as well, which is another resource, which is another talent that most of the time we don't manage correctly. Psalm 90, from verse 1. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turns man to destruction and says, return ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, as a watch in the night. Just that verse just says that time flies very quickly before even you realize it. I know many of us, when we go back to, you know, 2010, it was just like yesterday. But today we are almost 12 years later. It just flies like a twinkling of an eye. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as a sleep. The morning, they are like grass which grows up. In the morning, it flourishes and grows. Grows up. In the evening, it is cut down and withered. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. Realize that. The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knows the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear? So it is thy hold. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Teach us to number our days, that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. So if we number our days correctly, we live wisely. That's what the scripture says. But most of the time, we don't number our days correctly. We let life lead us. We let life events control what we do. And we are just going to take one specimen. We are just going to take one sample last year. We are going to do our calculations based on last year, from the 1st January 2021 to today. And let's just see how we used our time. And you'll realize. Let me just share this little slide. Share it. Can you see it? So, I hope you can see it. So we had from the 1st of January to today, 1 year or 12 months or 360 days, as you know. But let's put it in hours. We are going somewhere, okay? We are going to understand at the end. I've just approximated, you know, it's not exact 360 years, but let's put it 360 years. In hours, it's 8,640 hours. We had, you know, allocated to us to use in 2021. This is the number of hours we had. So let's see how we use this time. There are a few things that, you know, of all these 8,640, you know, there are things that we must do to live, you know. It doesn't depend on us. We have to do these things. What are they? Like sleeping, you know, sleep time, it's part of life. We have to sleep. Travel, you know, we have to go to work. You have to go, I don't know, to the hospital, shopping and visiting and all these things that we have to do as human beings, as living beings, you know. We have to go to school. We have to go to work. You know, we have our, you know, own time. Entertainment and social life, and it's within those 8,640, you know. And there's something else that we do. Let's carry on. So, for 2021, how many hours have you slept? Let's see. Let's consider just 8 hours per day. So, for 360 days, you have slept for 2,880 hours. I know there are people who are master sleepers, you know. This is just an average, but they are master sleepers. I know some, you know, they can sleep 4 times a day, you know, but you have just taken the average person. 2,800. In days, it's 120 days or 4 months. So for the whole 2021, we have been sleeping for 4 months. Just consider that. It's normal, you know, it's life. Have been sleeping for 4 months. Then, travel, you know, going to work, going to school, and all these things, going to see the GP and shopping and all this. Let's take an average of 2.5 hours per day, which is, you know, it depends, you know, sometimes it's more, sometimes it's more, but it's an average. So for 900 hours or 1 month and 7.5 days, we have been busy on the bus, on the plane, on the train, driving our cars and so forth for about 1 month and 7 days. Going to work and school, average 8 hours per day. I know it's an average, you know, it may differ. Some people, you can say, I work from Monday to Friday. But even when you go to school from Monday to Friday, you still have to do your assignments. On weekends, when you come home, you still have to do this and cook and all these things, you know. So we take an average of 8 hours per day. So for another 4 months, you have been whether at work or cooking or doing your homework, assignments, extra job or so forth for another 4 months. What else? Social life. Let's take roughly 3 hours per day. For the whole year, that's another 1 month and a half of social life. You know, you can see that there's not much left of our life. Not much left of our own. All you have 4 months there, 4 months there, 1 month and a half there. Let's do the sum now. Sleep time, travel, soap, school, work, entertainment, all this makes 10 months and 22 and a half days. You know, 90% of your time in the year, you have been busy with these things. For 10 months and more than half, so almost 11 months, time you are left with of your own, it's just a little more than 1 month. Remember, we have read, teach us to number our day. We are now learning how to number correctly our days. Because you can say, oh, I have 1 year before me. No, you have only 1 month of your own. Because most of the time during the year is taken by something else that is beyond your control. You have only 1 month that you can manage. Amen. Now, you are left only with 37.5 days of your own, or 900 hours. Of those 900 hours, the talents that is given to you. What are you going to manage? How are you going to manage those 900 hours? Let's see. We are talking about last year, the past year. Church service. How many days have you been to church? Let's see. Wednesday, for those who make it, I'm talking about an average Christian. So you put yourself, when I put these figures, you know, we are not going to call it a name. You yourself, just consider yourself. Do you make Wednesdays? So if you don't make Wednesday, take away those 104 hours. Do you make Friday? Another 104 hours. Sundays, 10:30 to 1:30. 164 hours. You always come late to church. So even if you come Sunday, don't put 156. You know, maybe it's just 20 for you. I don't know. So just consider these figures, I say it's average for the average person who make service every day. But you don't make service. Sometimes you have to go to work, you are sick, a child is sick, and so forth and so forth. So this is just a figure. So it makes 364 hours of the remaining 900 that we have been to church. You know. So this is just a graph to show how we use our time in the year. You just consider this, you know. The biggest portion is taken by sleep and work and school as well. The next one is social life. The next one is travel. The next one is, 4% only of the time we spend in church. And we are left with 6%. What do you do with this 6% of time left for you? Because this is the hours from which your intimacy with God must be built. That remaining time that you are not whether meant to work, meant to go to, you know, to do the, appointments and buy stuffs and groceries, and those 3 hours that remain of your own. How much private time do you spend with God? This is the big question. How much private time do you spend? I'm not talking about going to church. I'm not talking about, you know, no. It's now between you and God, because God has given you such time. You have to enter into an intimacy with God. Spend time with your Father. Of the rest of the time that you have, how much have you spent with God? Okay, I just take average, you know. Sometimes maybe you spend 30 minutes a day, which is not bad. But it's now about a matter of your own conscience. How much time do you spend with God a day? I mean, praying, reading, meditating, or testifying to someone, doing something for God. I just take an average of 30 minutes per day. If you do more, God bless you. If you do less, okay. So it's only 880 hours of 33% of your free time. That's for an average person. But let's just this speak to your own mind. Just consider it. If you spend this amount, but if you spend less, just see how much you spend the time with God. So, if you spend 180 hours a year of intimacy with God, it's only 2% of the 8,604 hours that God has given you in the year that you spend with God. Just realize it. You can say, no, I have 1 year before me. But maybe you have only 108 hours with God for 2022. These figures are brought here to awaken our mind, to awaken us from our sleep. And then we say, oh, I serve God. But only 2% of your, you know, the total time you have in the year, that's what you spend in communion with your Maker. Can't you consider making, you know, some cut somewhere? The time you spend entertaining yourself, social life, this and that. Can't you consider make some economy, some saving, taking away some time here, some time there, pulling out and trying to serve more God than you have done before? That was it, you know. So it's very important for us as believers to understand our calling. As believers, we have to understand it. God has given you those talents to use for Him. God has given you time. He has given you those abilities. He has given you all these things. But we go and we get distracted in many other things. Instead of using that talent, the time God gave us to serve Him, just make a breakdown of how you used your time in the year. You'll realize that you spent more time in useless things that doesn't give you anything, whether to your body. Sometimes it even kills your body and it doesn't do any good to your soul. Let's consider our ways. Let's pray that God teach us to number our days. You have 1 year before you, but I've shown you, you may have just maybe 100 hours for your soul. You may just have 50 hours for your soul. Consider putting your talent to serving God for the purpose of the kingdom of God. May God richly bless you. Brother Andrew.
God bless you, Brother Eli. Thank you so much, Brother. I asked Brother Wilmo if I could quickly just say one thing before handing over to Brother George. I got up this morning because I thought I would be speaking this evening because Brother Max Sr. wasn't going to speak. But then during the day, he said he'd really like to play a part. So I said, okay, good. I'll give Brother Max my part. So let me just share my notes I made this morning, if I can find it. There's my notes I made this morning. Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days. That was my topic I was going to be speaking on this morning. I would have taken it slightly different. But I just find it so powerful. When Brother Elliot said Psalm 90, verse 12, I took out my notebook and I showed the guys in the lounge. I said, guys, that's exactly what I was going to speak on this evening. So teach us to number our days. So I really was encouraged by that. So God bless you, Brother. And may the Lord indeed teach us to number our days. So God bless you, Brother. Thank you so much for the word.
Amen.
Amen. And may the Lord richly bless you in the year ahead. Thank you for using your time wisely for the kingdom of God. And may the Lord help us to be even more efficient in the year that lays before. Let's hand over to Brother George and continue on. God bless you, Brother. Thank you for the word.
Amen.
Amen. We'll just, maybe we'll sing that song. These are the days of Elijah. Declaring the word of the Lord. These are the days of your servant Moses. Righteousness being restored. And these are days of your triumph, of famine and darkness and sin. So we are the hosts in the desert, crying, prepare the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, he's riding on the cloud, shining like the sun, at the trumpet call. Behold, he comes, he's riding on the cloud, shining like the sun, at the trumpet call, it's your voice, it's a hero to believe, and out of Zion's hills are the times. These are the days of Ezekiel, hallelujah. The tribals becoming less flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding the temple. And these are the days of the harvest. The fields are as white as the rain. And we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes, he's riding on the cloud, shining like a sun, at the trumpet call, it's your voice, it's a hero to the new, and out of Zion's hills are. Oh, behold, behold, he comes, he's riding on the cloud, shining like the sun, at the trumpet call, it's your voice, it's a hymn of jubilee, and out of Zion's hills our victory comes. There's no God like Jehovah, there's no God like Jehovah, there's no, there is no God like my God, there's no God like you. There's no God like Jehovah, there's no God like you, there's no God like Jehovah, there's no God like Jehovah, there's no God like Jehovah. Behold, he comes, he's riding on the cloud, shining like the sun, at the trumpet call, there's no voice, it's a hymn of jubilee. God of Zion's hills are victory. Behold, behold, he comes. He's riding on the cloud, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, it's your voice. It's a hymn of jubilee. God of Zion's hills are victory. Comes. Amen. Let's just sing. I don't know. Hang on. I've lost the program here. Let's sing that song, Deeper, Deeper in the Love of Jesus. Daily Let Me Go. Amen. And then we'll give time. Thank you, Brother Dave. The guitar's a bit loud there. I've turned it down. I just want to make sure I'm following the program. Sorry, saints. Okay. But we'll just, let's sing two verses of that, Deeper, Deeper in the Love of Jesus. Then we ask Brother Michael. I think he's got a testimony.
Deeper, deeper in the love of Jesus. Daily let me go. In the school of wisdom, Lord, greater, oh, deeper, oh, deeper, higher and higher every day, and wiser, blessed Lord, in my presence, only with
one more verse.
Blessed Holy Spirit, take me deeper still, till my life is wholly lost in Jesus and His perfect way. Deeper, oh, deeper tight, higher and higher every day, and higher. In my verses, so oh, deeper yet I pray, oh, deeper yet I pray, higher and higher every day, and wiser, blessed Lord, in my verses, holy word, amen.
God bless you, saints. Hope you all had a wonderful Christmas holiday. I just wanted to give a short testimony and a thanksgiving to the Lord for guiding me throughout the first years of college, all the COVID going around and the lockdowns and everything. It's been a real challenge for me to, you know, manage my schedule for studies and overall going into a new environment, into a new education system. It was a lot of pressure for me to, you know, try and fit in. But I thank the Lord that He led me through, gave me encouragement and the strength that I needed. And I also want to thank the saints for praying for me for my summer exams, the ones that I did this year. I really appreciate all the saints praying for me, giving me the encouragement, especially Brother Michael Sr. I remember that it was after church on Sunday where I had, I think it was 1 week before the summer exams began. And I really couldn't I knew that I wasn't prepared. I tried to study, tried to get my mind jogging to memorize a lot of things, but I thought that I couldn't really, you know, I thought that I couldn't like pass. But then Brother Maxwell Sr., he came behind me and he put his hand on my shoulder and he said that, Brother Michael, I'm praying for you. And when he just said that, it gave me a huge boost of encouragement that I knew that people and saints are praying for me. And that just made me go straight towards the exam, knowing that the Lord was by my side and that He would give me the knowledge, the memory to remember all the key words and all the phrases in the exam. Even though it was online, I still bless the Lord that he led me through and I passed all my exams in summer, went straight to second year. And that was when the lockdown started to lift up. Then we went into the actual, yeah. So the exams went well. And now that I went to in second year, as I said, the lockdown lifted up, and we had to go back on site. That was a new building, new environment now, and fitting in was easy enough. But overall, you know, I just thank the Lord for being by my side. And now I have Christmas exams coming up, but I know that the Lord, He will still be there. He has never left me, and I know that I will do well this coming up Christmas exams. So I thank the saints and I thank the Lord for giving me encouragement, praying for me, and overall being a supporting hand. Thank you very much.
To from Bethlehem's manger came forth a stranger, honored by law. Thank you, Lord. To be a king, a faithful Savior. Hallelujah. Our Richie's favorite to Michael. Honored by law.
God bless you. Can everybody hear me? Everybody can hear me. Amen.
Amen. We can hear.
Thank you. God bless you. Wow, it's interesting how you can never stop to be nervous even if you're speaking from home. Amen. As Brother George was saying, I really truly want to be like Jesus. Amen.
should love him. He's our Lord. He's our King. Amen. And we truly want to be like him. Amen. I'm just trying to get myself together here. We don't do this very often, so I think the first and only time I did it was with the young people when I was speaking to the youth when I was in Edmonton. So just trying to do it again, and we're just trying to bring everything together. Amen. So just bear with me for a little while before we get into gear. Amen. Amen. Surely appreciated the word that Brother Eli shared there. That surely gets you to think about the time that the Lord has given to us, and to learn to number our days and how to use our time in the right way. So we really appreciated that, Brother Eli. Thank you for sharing that with us. Amen. Enjoyed all the specials as well, and all the testimony, Brother Michael. That was a wonderful testimony. I remember when I was going to college and how the prayers of the saints was always a help. So really want to say that was wonderful, Brother Michael, and I will be praying for you too as you continue on your years in college. So I believe the Lord will take you through just as he took me through. So amen. We believe in the Lord for that. Amen. Amen. Well, maybe before we go to the word, maybe let's go to the Lord in prayer. Amen. Let's just pray before we open the word this evening. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we just want to say thank you. Thank you this evening, Lord. Father, we thank you for your presence that is here. We thank you for your presence that is in the homes, O Lord. Father, we thank you for the song service that has been, Lord. We thank you for the testimonies, Lord. Lord, for the most importantly, Lord, we thank you that you've taken us through this year and you brought us to the end of it, Lord. And Father, this time we just want to spend, Lord, as we saw in the message that came just before, Lord, maybe a little time that we have right now in the space of the whole year, Lord. Father, we just want to dedicate it and consecrate it to you, Lord. And we just want to ask you, the Father, you come by your way in a special way, Father. Lord, you will speak to us, Lord, even though we might be distanced by internet and different things. But Lord, we know that you are the omnipresent God, and we just ask that you go to every home. And the Father, you will take me out of the way, Lord. I just pray, Father, Lord God, that I might be able to be, Lord Father, yielded completely to you, the Father. You may use the vessel to discern the thoughts and intents of your people, Lord. The Father, you will meet every need this evening, that you answer every question, Lord God. And not only, but Father, we know that you are also a healer, and we know that you are also a miracle worker, Lord. And we don't want to limit you in any way this evening, Lord. We just want you to have your way, Father. Whatever you desire to do, whatever your program is, whatever your vision is for this evening, Lord, we just want to ask that you fulfill that vision, Lord God. And we just want to surrender ourselves to you. And we just want to be the vessels that you can use to fulfill this vision. So, Lord, we just ask, have your way, Lord. We pray that you bless this service, and we ask that you glorify your name in us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. I just want to ask again, am I loud enough? It's everything okay?
Perfect, bro. Perfect.
Thank you, Brother Josh. Thank you, all the brothers lifting up your hands. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Again, we sure appreciate the opportunity to speak something this on the 31st as we come into the end of the year. We appreciate the opportunity and really want to say thank you, Brother Andrew, for the opportunity to share the word. And also want to say thanks to all the other ministers, my dad and Brother Wilmore and Brother Lee. The Lord bless you all, and really appreciate it. It's been good to be here with the family. It's been good to visit. It's been good to see you all. I wish I could have seen everyone, but I couldn't. But God knows, and Lord willing, we'll come back again. And as Brother Andrew was saying, that this is definitely the last time that we'll have to do things this way. And we're trusting that the next time we can see each other and fellowship together, amen, in person. We truly want to say we appreciate every one of you, the saints here. Really appreciate your prayers. All the years that I've been here, it's been a blessing. So really want to say God bless you all. Amen. And as I was saying on Sunday also, we do bring greetings from Edmonton, from the saints, and End Time Message Tabernacle We sure do bring greetings to all of you. We bring greetings from Brother Harold Hildebrandt and Brother Ed Hammermeister. They all do share the greetings, they said. We should bring greetings and all the ministers as well. Brother Andrew Dodd, Brother Moses and Dalaran, and Brother John Perizoc, they all send their greetings and all the saints as well. So we really want to say the Lord bless you all. And they really appreciate you. And they keep saying that they will keep me there. And you say you want me back. And so, Lord, we don't know, but we'll let the Lord do the deciding. Amen. 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 We want to take our Bibles this evening and we want to open to the scriptures of Judges. We want to go to Judges this evening. Amen. It's a very familiar scripture. If you've ever been in a Sunday school, you've heard the story before. Amen. And so we want to just take a little story from there, but we want the Lord to kind of lead us a little bit. Amen. We kind of got a little bit inspired from Brother Andrew, the pastor, as he spoke last Friday, as he was talking about the importance of the name Wonderful. So we just want to, kind of in that vein, he made a statement. He said that it's very important for us to experience on a daily basis the attribute of his name, Wonderful. And when he said that, something struck about an experience. So we just want to pick it up from there this evening. Amen. So Judges chapter 16, we want to read from verse 27 to verse 30 this evening. Judges 16, from 27 to 30. Amen. Judges 16, 27 to 30. And the Bible says, now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be once avenged of the Philistine for my two eyes. And Samson took a hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, and the one with his right hand and the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the heads fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Amen. We ask the Lord to add his blessing to the reading of the word. You might have your seats. Amen. God bless you for standing. Amen. Amen. This evening we have a little title here, and we want to speak on restoring a shaven experience. Restoring a shaven experience. Amen. You know, there is something about an experience. There is something about an experience, amen. An experience identifies you with something, amen. It always identifies you with something. If you ever experienced being sick, you can identify yourself with the distress that comes with sickness, amen. If you've ever, you know, you can identify yourself with a weakness that comes with sickness, amen. If you've ever lost a loved one in your family, you can identify yourself with the sorrow that comes with the death of the loved one in your family. You can identify yourself with the sadness that comes. You can identify yourself with the emptiness that comes if you've ever experienced the loss of someone in your family, amen. And if you've ever had an experience with God, you can identify yourself with Jesus Christ. Amen. You can identify to know that the Lord, he is the resurrection and the life. Amen. That regardless of what has come in your way, maybe death in the family or whatever it is, that the grave is not the end of the goal. Amen. You can identify yourself with Christ, that he is a comforter. Amen. If you've ever had an experience with God, you can identify yourself with God, that he is the healer, amen, that he is the restorer of all things, amen. Why? Because you have come in contact with God, amen. You have met him personally, amen. You see, when Moses met God on the backside of the desert, see, no one can tell Moses that he wasn't the one that was called to deliver the children of Israel. See, you couldn't stop Moses anymore. Why? Because he had had an experience with God, and God had made known to him what he was supposed to do, and no one could stop him. Why? Because he had met God. Amen. It wasn't because his mom had met God. It wasn't because his dad had met God. As a matter of fact, the moment that his mom had met God, and his mom knew that he was to be the deliverer, and his mom preached to him and told him that, Moses, you are going to be the deliverer. You see, that wasn't enough for Moses to fulfill that purpose. Amen. Moses himself had to come in contact with God and be sure that God had sent him to fulfill that purpose. Amen. The testimony of his mom wasn't good enough. Amen. The testimony of his dad wasn't good enough. Amen. Moses himself had to come to an experience with God to know that I am called to be the deliverer of the children of Israel. Amen. So it is important to have an experience. Amen. An experience is the key to them. And when you have met him personally, then you can say that I am a son of God. Then you can say that I am a daughter of God. Amen. But you see, we're living in an age where Satan is trying to move the church away, or to get the church away from an experience. Satan is trying to get the church away from an experience. Why? Because an experience brings a revelation. An experience brings a revelation. If you look at Moses again, when he had an experience, then he had a revelation that he was to be the deliverer. An experience brings a revelation, amen. And Satan is trying to get the church away from an experience, amen. Trying to get the church to rely on some old, cold form of experience. He's trying to get them to rely on some old, cold form of experience. Why? Because Satan knows what the dynamic of the church is. He knows what the dynamic of the church is, but the brother will talk about it. And what shall I do with Jesus called Christ? Jeffersonville, 1963. He was saying the dynamic of this church will be the refilling of the Holy Ghost that we have worked in a small measure while the headstone is coming down to unite with the body. He said the dynamic of the church will be a refilling of the Holy Ghost until the fullness of the headstone have come. But we know that we are living in a season where the headstone has done come down. Amen. He continued to say, but when that head and the body unites together, the full power of the Holy Ghost will rise her up just exactly like that. Even the dead that is dead in Christ for 100 years ago will rise in the beauty of his holiness and take a flight to the skies. He said the dynamic is the Holy Ghost. But Satan is trying to do what? He's trying to change the dynamic of the church. Satan is trying to change the dynamic of the church, and is trying to give the church a cold form of religious spirit. Mm-hmm. He's trying to give the church a cold form of religious spirit. He's trying to let the people feel that just going to church is enough. He's trying to let the people think that being attached with a message is enough. That saying that I am a message believer is enough. He's trying to get the people to the thing that, you know, just to say that I believe the prophet of this age, that is enough. See, all that Satan is trying to do is trying to get the people to think that it doesn't take the dynamic to put you in the rapture. He's trying to make you think that it's just the little that you can do, like Brother Lee was showing, just that little time that you can give, just that little moment that is going to be enough for you to get in the rapture. But you see, the one is going to put you in the rapture is an experience with God. What is going to put you in the rapture is the dynamic in the church, because it's a dynamic that is going to bring a change in the body. Without the dynamic, the church is going to stay. Without you having the dynamic, there is no way that you are going to leave this place to go on the skies to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I'm talking about the dynamic, I mean the Holy Ghost. Without the Holy Ghost, Church of God, we are going to live in this place. Without the Holy Ghost, there is no way that we're going to have a change in the body. What we need is an experience with God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. What we need is an experience with God, and he's trying to get them to think that that is enough for a rapture. He's trying to get the church to think that that is enough to see Mark sustain in action again in the church. Amen. And I tell you, those things are good. It's good to believe the message, amen. It's good to read your Bible, amen. But you need to come in contact with a maker, amen. You need to come in contact with God, amen. Amen. You can't just stay and say, you know, I just believe the message and I go to church and that's good enough, amen. You need to meet him, amen. You need to have an experience with him. Like the pastor was saying, to have an experience with a wonderful attribute of God. That is what Ephesus had lost, amen. Ephesus had lost that first love, amen. They had lost their sweet communion with God. They had lost their experience with God, amen. You see, all Satan is trying to do is Satan is trying to push the Antichrist spirit in the church. Now you may say, well, you're talking about Antichrist. Antichrist is supposed to be in a denomination. I tell you, Satan is not a respecter of this message, amen. If he could get his Antichrist spirit in this message, he'll put it in the message. And the person that is looking to put that spirit in the message, it is you. Satan is after this bride, is trying to get that Antichrist spirit back in the church again. Because the church of the living God, I tell you one thing, it's a church that has got the spirit of God, amen. It's a church that has got the power of God in action in the body of Christ again, amen. Where the works that the head did is what the body is doing again, amen. Destroying every work of sin. God working through his body to destroy every work of sin. To destroy every power of addiction. Amen. To destroy every shackles of fear. To dissolve every kind of doubt. That is what God is trying to do in this church today. And is looking for vessels to do it. But Satan is also looking for vessels to put the Antichrist spirit in there. To create a cold and a formal church. A powerless church. Amen. That's the purpose of Satan. Amen. But God also has got a purpose this evening. Amen. Amen. In the church age book, chapter 1, Brother Branham will speak the revelation of Jesus Christ. Brother Branham will seek and say, and speak and say, now remember this, is that Christ in the true church is the continuation of the book of Acts. Amen. I know if you listen to the tape, you know this quote very well, and you can quote a boy hat, but I want us to take it slowly a little bit this evening. Amen. Is that Christ is the true Christ in the true church is the continuation of the book of Acts, he says. And I said, but the book of Revelation shows how that the Antichrist spirit will come into the church and defile it, making it lukewarm, formal, and powerless. You see what the Antichrist spirit is trying to do? Get the church to be cold, to be lukewarm, formal, and powerless. He said, but that's what the book of Revelation does. It exposes Satan. It shows us the tactics of Satan, that what he's trying to do is to get us cold, is to get us lukewarm just like Laodicea, to get us powerless just like Laodicea. Yeah. That's what Satan's trying to do. Yeah. But we need a restoration of that experience again. Because it is that experience, amen, that is going to put you into the rapture. It is that experience that is going to bring back the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God again. Brother Brown continuing to say, he said, he's talking about the book of Revelation. He says, it exposes Satan, revealing his work. He said, attempted destruction of God's people and the discrediting of God's word, right down to the time that he is cast into the lake of fire. The book of Revelation is showing his attempted destruction to God's people. Friends, we ought to be feeling the most blessed people in this age that we have got the revelation of what Satan is trying to do. But not only, but we've got a revelation of who we are. Amen. We've got a revelation of our possession. Amen. And he continues to say, he's talking about the devil. He says, he voiced that. He said he cannot stand it. He knows that if the people get the true revelation of the true church and what she is and what she stands for and that she can do the greater works, she will be an invincible army. If you catch a revelation of what you are, amen. If you catch a revelation of what you are, or what you stand for, and that you can do the greater works, then you will be an invincible army. Amen. This is the message of our day. Then you will be an invincible army. Amen. And many times it will stop our court there and we will rejoice. And that is good. But I want to go a little further on this evening. And I believe this is pertinent to every church. And Brother Branham says, if they get the true revelation of the two spirits within the framework of the Christian church, and by the spirit of, and the by God's spirit, discern and withstand the Antichrist spirit, Satan will be powerless before heck. It is not just about becoming an invincible army, but it's becoming to a place to catch in the revelation, coming to a place to see the two spirits that are working in the framework of the church. And not only recognizing that, but to be able to withstand or to resist the Antichrist spirit. Resist the lukewarm spirit. Resist the formal spirit. Resist the religious spirit. Amen. You have what Brother Elia was saying, coming to church late and doing this and doing that, and pushing everything on the laity and say, let them carry it on. You've got a part to play. There is a talent that has been handed to you. And if you will discern the two frameworks in the church, don't think that it's a believer's church, so Satan cannot come in. That is where Satan wants to come. He doesn't care about the denominational churches. He cares about the bride. That's the one he wants to catch. And if we can discern the two spirits, the Antichrist spirit and the spirit of God, and resist the Antichrist spirit, Satan will be powerless before you. And I believe that as we're going into this new year, we want a church in which Satan is powerless before us. Amen. We don't want a lukewarm church. We don't want a formal church. We want a church that is filled with the power of God, that can destroy every power and every works of the enemy. That's the church that we're looking for in this last age. That's the church that is going on the rapture. God is not coming back for anything less than what he began with. He's not coming back for something less than that. He's coming for something that is greater than that. Because he's given you the creative power. You are living in an age where he has restored the word back again. He has broken every secret. He has broken every seals. He's revealed it to you. And he's saying, this is your time to be the manifested word of God. This is your time to resist the Antichrist spirit in the church. This is your time. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Is that if he can resist, that he will be. Satan will be powerless before him. He said he will be as definitely toward it today as when Christ withstood his every effort to gain power over him on the desert. He said, yes, yeah, Satan hates revelation, but we love it. Yes. Amen. He hates revelation, but we love revelation. Amen. Is that with true revelation in our lives? Is that the gates of hell cannot prevail against us, but we will prevail over time. Amen. With a true revelation, we will prevail against the gates of the enemy. And I don't know about you, but perhaps this year that you've been through, as this year is coming to an end, I don't know, but maybe Satan has robbed you. He has robbed you of the revelation of what Jesus is personally to you. Or he has robbed you of that experience that you've had with God. Or he has robbed you of the relationship that you had with God. Or he has robbed you of the joy of your salvation. Amen. Or he has robbed you of your peace. Amen. Maybe God, he has robbed you. Satan has robbed you. I want you to know something this evening, that if you are a son of God, if you are a daughter of God, you have every right to go back to Satan and say, Satan, give it back. He
Satan has come to your home and he has destroyed your home and he has robbed your children and he has taken your son and he has taken your daughter, I want you to know this evening that you have a right to claim them back to where they belong. That is your God-given possession. God gave you those children. It wasn't Satan that gave them to you. God gave you those children, and you've got every right. You've got every right to go and before Satan and say, you can't hold them anymore. You have every right. If you are a son of God, if you are a daughter of God, you have every right to go to Satan and say, Satan, give it back. You can't hold it anymore. Amen. Friends, this evening, I'm not talking about an emotion. Amen. This evening, I'm not talking about an intellectual fate. Amen. This evening, I'm talking about you coming to the realization, to the revelation of who you are. You coming to a place, amen, where you start to resist the Antichrist spirit this evening and let God move on the scene and see God come in action in your home. See God come in action in your situation. That is what I'm talking about this evening. Amen. Because God is ready to move. God is ready to move. I don't care what the distance is. God is ready to move. God is ready to move in your home. You can create an atmosphere this very moment that Satan will be powerless in your very home this evening. You can create an atmosphere, not just this evening, but every day of your life. You can create an atmosphere in your home that Satan will be powerless in that home. If you can destroy that Antichrist spirit, amen, amen, you can create that atmosphere this evening. Friends, I want you to know and I want the Lord wants you to understand that Christ is not just your Savior, amen, but Christ is also your deliverer. Christ is also your healer, amen. Christ is also your way maker, amen. Christ is also your restorer of all times, amen. That's what he is to you. He is a present help in a time of trouble. He has not changed. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's waiting for a people that will take him at his word. He's waiting to prove himself to his bride in his last age. That's what he's waiting for this evening, amen. Amen. You see, that's where Samson had come to, amen. You see, Samson had come to a place where the enemy had robbed him of his experience. See, Satan has robbed Samson of his experience. Satan has robbed Samson of his strength, amen. Satan had robbed Samson. He has robbed him of his freedom, amen. He had robbed Samson of his peace, amen. He had robbed everything that Samson had. He had robbed it of Samson, amen. And here was Samson standing in the camp of his enemy, completely defeated, standing in the camp of his enemy with shackles on his hands, with shackles on his feet. That wasn't the purpose of Samson, but because Samson had played around, now Satan has come and robbed him. Here is Samson standing, and he has become the object of fun before his enemies. He had become the object of entertainment before his enemies. And sometimes that's where we get to, that we become the object of entertainment of the enemy. But he comes to a life over and over again, and he afflicts us over and over again. That we keep, it looks like we're just going around in a cycle. And we become his object of entertainment. We seem that we can't break through from the shackles. We can't break free from anything. And we become his entertainment. And he will come and he'll bind us. And maybe we'll shake ourselves. But he'll come again and he'll bind us. Amen. And we become his entertainment. Amen. And you know why all this happened? All this happened because Samson didn't surrender everything to God.
Yeah.
Yeah. You see, Samson didn't surrender everything to God. Yeah. See, Samson gave his friend to God, but he gave his heart to Delilah. Amen. Yeah. See, he didn't give everything to God. And you know the reason why sometimes we fail? We fail because we don't give our full heart to God. Yeah. Amen. Come on, church, this evening. Amen. Stay with me this evening. The reason why sometimes we fail is because we don't surrender everything to God. We still got some compartments in our hearts, some doors in our hearts that are still closed. Amen. Some doors in our heart that we don't want to open. We just want those doors to be shut, amen. We've got some doors of unforgiveness in our hearts that we just keep shut, amen. Come on, church. We've got some doors of strife in our hearts that we don't want to get rid of. Come on. That's the reason why sometimes we fail. That's the reason why sometimes we become, you know, the object of fun of the enemy. Because we didn't fully surrender at all. Amen. Amen. We got some doors of unconfessed sin in our lives that we keep showing. We don't want God to come in that door. We say, we just say to him, just stay away from that door. We don't want you to come into that door. Amen. That's the reason why we fail. You know what all these things are? These are the Antichrist spirit getting into the church. Amen. That is what it is. That is what makes the church formal. That is what makes the church powerless. When we get doors in our hearts that we're failing to open and let God come in and cleanse our heart. When we are failing to surrender everything to God, that what makes the church powerless. That is the Antichrist spirit coming in there. That is the Antichrist spirit coming in there. Remember, the Antichrist spirit is every spirit that is against the spirit of God. Amen. Unforgiveness is against the spirit of God. Unconfessed sin is against the spirit of God. Amen. Strife is against the spirit of God. Malice is against the spirit of God. Amen. You were made this evening, church. Amen. Amen. Brother Brown was speaking perfect strength by perfect weakness, Jeffersonville, 1961. He said, we've got to make a complete surrender. He said, and to come to God, you've got to surrender to him, both soul, body, and spirit. Amen. Now I want to repeat that again. He said, and to come to God, you've got to surrender to him, both soul, body, and spirit. You know, many times we say, I'm giving my heart to the Lord. And you know, I'm giving my soul to the Lord. And my soul will save them. And that is good. But what about your spirit? But what about your body? Remember, your body is the temple of God. What are you doing with your body? What are you doing in your spirit realm? What are you doing in your imagination? What are you doing in your affection? What is your affection set on? Amen. I tell you one thing. I am not a New Year's message preacher. Amen. I am not here for a new resolutions or whatever they call them. Amen. We are here to speak the word of God. Amen. We're here to let God speak to us. Amen. Friends, we need to get ready for a rapture. Amen. We are living on a borrowed time right now. It's a borrowed time that we're living on. God is wanting to take his bride home. Amen. Hallelujah. We're living on a borrowed time. Brother Brown continuing to say, everything that you are has to be surrendered to God in order that he can work his will in you and me. He didn't say sometimes that you have has to be surrendered to God. He said everything that you are has to be surrendered to God. No part of you, but everything that you are has to be surrendered to God. God always wants a surrendered heart, amen. That's all the ones, but Samson had given him a strand and given his heart to Delilah, amen. And here was Samson standing there. That it almost looked like that the enemy had a victory over God's servant. Yeah. It looked like Satan had victory over God's servant. Here was he standing there. Looked like he was completely defeated. But you know one thing? That wasn't the picture that God had in his mind concerning Samson. Amen. That wasn't the picture that he had in mind concerning Samson. Amen. And I want you to know that that's not a picture that God has in his mind concerning you. Amen. The picture that God has in his mind is not a picture of you in bondage. Amen. The picture that God has in his mind is not a picture of you in sickness. Amen. The picture that God has in his mind is not a picture of you in a spiritual amnesia, not knowing who you are. The picture that God has in his mind is a picture of an overcomer. Amen. Now us a picture that God has got on his mind. The picture of an overcomer, amen. A picture of a healed person, amen. He has a picture of an invincible army for Laodicea. And you have been enrolled in that army. Oh, come on, church. You have been enrolled in that army, of that invincible army in this last age. That is the picture that God is looking at this evening. That is the picture of an overcomer, amen. Hallelujah. That is the picture that is looking at. And you know what God is waiting for? God is waiting for you to step in that image this evening. Come on, church. He's waiting for you to step in the image and the picture that he has of you this evening. He's waiting for you to step in that image to become the expression of the power of God and them to see him once again. Oh, hallelujah. Friends, it is time to rise from the ashes that we've been laying in 2021. It is time to rise from the ashes, amen. It is time to rise from the ashes. It is time to project the picture that God has in his mind. The season has come, amen. The time has come, amen. Oh, hallelujah. You know, one time, the secret of the bride is the word of God. In other words, the secret of the bride is the revelation of the word of God. And the moment that we disbelieve the word of God, we are disarmed. Amen. The moment we disbelieve his word, we become disarmed. Amen. You see, Satan is looking for the secret. If Satan can find a secret, he's got you disarmed. Amen. You see, the moment he found the secret of Samson, Samson was disarmed. Samson was completely disarmed when he found the secret. Amen. And that's what Satan is trying to do, to find the secret of the church. Amen. And you see, that's all he's been trying to do all day through the ages. Amen. To find the secret. All day through the ages. Amen. He was trying to find the secret. Amen. And Brother Branham said that he found the secret. Amen. We won't be able to read all the quotes this evening. But Brother Branham said he found the secret. And just once more. But I'm preaching in 1963, December 1963, just once more. Brother Branham said he found the secret of prayer. And he said the secret, when he found him, he bought it at Nicaea. Amen. I hope you hear me well. He bought the secret at Nicaea, Rome. Amen. If you've listened, if you read the Church Age book, you know what I'm talking about. He bought the secret off at Nicaea, Rome. When he found the secret, he bought it off. But you know one thing? God had a masterpiece bright in his mind that he was going to bring forth. Amen. See, he had already brought forth the second masterpiece. That was Jesus Christ. Amen. But there was another masterpiece that he had in his mind. And that was the bride. Amen. And so when an Isaiah, the Satan came and bobbed off his head and bobbed off his power and put it in the dogma of the Catholic Church, God went again to build on his masterpiece. Oh, hallelujah. He went again to build on his masterpiece because that is what he had in his mind. And he started to build a masterpiece. And Luther came on the scene. Amen. And when Luther came on the scene, he broke the bands of the Catholic dogmas. Amen. I know Brother Andrew has been going through the different tents of Wesley and tents, so you must be familiar with this. You see, he broke the bands. Luther came on the scene. And you see, that was the beginning. He was building, amen. And then Wesley came on the scene, amen. Preaching sanctification, amen. And he started to break the bonds a little further, amen. And then Pentecost came on the scene with the restoration of the gifts. Amen. Pentecost came on the scene with the restoration of the gifts, amen. But you see, Satan, while God was building, Satan was there still looking for the secret. I tell you, friends, one time we have a good adversary, but we got a good captain on our side. Amen. We have a good adversary, Satan. He's a good adversary. See, he doesn't back off very easily the way we do sometimes. Amen. He fights all the way. So while Jesus was building, God was building this masterpiece. There he was. And he was trying to find a secret again. And right there, when he came, Darren Pentecost them. He was trying to find the secret, and all of a sudden God was born, and he found the secret in Pentecost. And when he found it, you know what he did? He took the word of God away. You remember what we said, that the secret of the believer is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so what did he do? He took the revelation of the word away from the Pentecostal church, and he gave them a dogma, and he gave them a creed, amen, and he denominated them. That is what it made him to be, and made him powerless. Well, friends, God's still out of purpose. Amen. Amen. God's purpose will stand. God's purpose cannot fail. Amen. If he wanted a masterpiece, he will bring a masterpiece. No matter what Satan does, that masterpiece must be erected. Amen. Oh, and while Satan was in there and he was bringing deception in the Pentecostal church, God was making a remedy. Oh, hallelujah. God was making a remedy, amen. He was making a remedy to rise out of the ashes of Pentecost, another church, amen. Not just another church, but a church that will not be deceived, a church that will not compromise, amen. He was in the right in the midst of them. He was raising a people, amen. It'll be an invasion. The people that he will call to be his bride, right in the middle of the ashes, right in the camp of the enemy, right in Laodicea. He was raising a bride. Oh, what a God we serve, amen. He was erecting a masterpiece, amen. Oh, hallelujah. He was erecting a masterpiece. And you know one thing about Samson? You know, while Samson was in the prison, and he was grinding away, you know, something was taking place that the Philistine was not being aware of. Oh, hallelujah. While he was grinding away, Samson's hair was starting to grow again. Hallelujah. His hair was starting to grow again while he was in the camp of the enemy, while he was grinding in there. And while Pentecost was being deceived, God was raising a bride. God was erecting a church. God was erecting you, because the church that I'm talking about, it is you that I'm talking about. It is you. You are the church. You are that bride. Amen. You are the one that has received the restoration of the message in this last age. Amen. You are the one that God has called to put back in the position of authority that they had at the beginning. You are that one, amen. You are that one that he's talking about. Amen. Right out of the ashes. Right on the ashes of Laodicea, God is lifting you up, amen. Right amidst of the ashes of your condition, God is lifting you up, amen. Right in the middle of the ashes, amen. You can have back your denomination. Amen. Amen. You know what? It doesn't matter. We don't know what the enemy has bugged off you over this last year. I don't know what he has bugged off. I don't know what he is shaving off of you. Amen. Maybe you're shaving off, I don't know, your joy. Maybe you're shaving off your job. Maybe you're shaving off the peace that you had in your home. Amen. But I want you to know that there is a promise this evening, amen. If you are a church of God, your hair can start growing again this evening. Your hair can start growing again this evening, amen. I believe that the time has come for you to start taking steps towards your mountain, amen. Just like Caleb came to Joshua and said, the time has come for me to have my mountain, amen. I believe the time has come for you to say, I want my mountain back again to myself. Amen. No matter what he's shaving off, you can claim it back. Amen. It's time for you to stop possessing your land this evening. Amen. While all the heads of the Philistines were gathered together. They were gathered together that day. Amen. Amen. They were making sport of. Samson. Amen. But you know what Samson started to do? Amen. Right there in the middle of the camp of his enemy. Amen. Samson started to lift himself up, amen. Samson started to rise up and pray. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, this evening. Samson started to rise up and pray. He was in the enemy's camp. He was bound with shackles, amen. He was bound down. It looked like it was his hand. And you may come to the end of 2021, and it may look like it's like your hand. It may look like everything has fallen apart. But I want you to know that there is a new hair that is growing on you this evening. Oh, come on, church. There is a new hair that is growing this evening, amen. You can start rising up because Samson started to rise above a situation. Amen. He started to rise above the fact that he didn't have two eyes anymore. He started to rise above his condition. Amen. He started to rise above his circumstances. Amen. He started to rise above it. Amen. And when he started to rise above it, you know what he started to do? He started to think on his ways.
Amen. Amen.
He started to think on his ways. You heard last Sunday, brother, the pastor was talking about counsel. I don't know, but perhaps Samson started to think on his ways that he had not been following the right counselor. He wasn't following the right counselor. And he started to think of his ways and the mistakes that he had made. He started to think of it all, amen. And as he started to think on his ways, he started to turn his face to God, the one that has wisdom, the one that is the provider, the one that has all the power, the one that has all the authority. He started to turn towards him. But I want you to notice another thing that Samson did. Samson never condemned himself. Come on this evening. Samson never condemned himself. Samson never stood there and said, you know what? You know, I did this and I went with Delilah and all mine. And oh, mine, I'm such a wretched and, you know, such a bad person. You see, Samson wasn't there to condemn himself. Right in the midst of his shackles, right in the midst of his difficulty, you know what Samson started to do? Samson started to recall his purpose. He started to recall his purpose. He started to recognize what I am made for, what I am born to be, what God has made me to be. He started to recall his purpose. And he started to say, strengthen me once again. Avenge me of these Philistines of my two eyes. Strengthen me again. Why? Because Samson started to realize that there is a possibility. Oh, hallelujah. If you can realize this evening that you have a possibility, there is a possibility this evening in the midst of your shackles, in the midst of your trouble, in the midst of what 2021 has been, there is a possibility. He started to realize there's a possibility for a revival, amen. He started to realize there's a possibility for a restoration once again. Oh, hallelujah. He started to realize, I have got a possibility. This is not the end of it because I have a purpose. Oh, hallelujah. If only the church can come to a realization this evening that there is a possibility that you still have a purpose, that God has you here for a purpose, and it is not over until you are out of this world all at a time for you to rise out of the ashes. Amen. Come on, church. It is time for you to rise up out of your ashes. Amen. There is a possibility for you and me. You don't have to stay in your sickness this evening. You don't have to stay in your depression this evening. You don't have to stay in your fear this evening. You don't have to stay in your sin this evening. Oh, hallelujah. You don't have to stay there this evening. Brother Branham will speak again and you'll say, where has thy strength gone, Samson? Los Angeles, California, 1959, Brother Branham says, is that one hope that we have? And he said, I'm closing, and truly I am closing also. Is that one hope that we have? And I'm close in saying this. Is that one hope that we have? While they had Samson bound, there was a new shock growed out. Oh, come on, church. While Samson was bound, there was a new shock that grew out. Friends, I didn't say this. Your prophet said this. Hallelujah. There is a new shock that grew out. Amen. And then Brother Branham said, I am praying God that he will grow out of here somewhere a new shock that will shake the Philistines like they've never been shook before. Oh, glory be to God. He said he is waiting. He said he is praying. And it is for this evening that this evening in your home, in your situation, in your condition, that there will grow a new shock. Oh, hallelujah. That there will grow a new shock. Amen. Oh, that will shake the Philistines like never before. That is what he's expecting this evening. That I will grow a new shirt this evening. And Brother Branham said, I believe God will have it. Oh, hallelujah. And I believe that this evening, God will have it. Oh, come on, church. Do you believe that this evening, God will have a new shock that will grow in this very situation, in your condition? Oh, come on, church. Oh, friends, he has a new shock that will grow out. Will you believe it this evening? Will you believe it this evening? There is a new shock that can grow out this evening. Oh, I believe it with all my heart this evening, friends. Friends, I believe that the time has come for us to move into action. Oh, friends, we've stayed idle for too long. It's time to move into action. Amen. Because we are living in a time of restoration. Amen. It's a time of restoration where God has given back all that you have lost. Amen. And whatever you have lost in 2021, God is here to give it back. Whatever Satan has robbed from you, God is here for it to grow back again. Amen. He's here to say, Satan, you can't hold it anymore. Restitute it. Give it back to my children again. We're living in a time of restoration. Brother Branham said restoration of the Bright Tree, Jefferson Bill 1962. He said to restore means to bring back. Amen. Or to restore a claim can be enforced. But then Brother George was here on one of the days and we were fellowshipping. And he was talking about to bring back and to restore. Friends, this is a true word to the bride on his last age. Amen. He said, now to bring anything back to its rightful owner where it belongs. He said, therefore, some way it went away from its rightful owner and can wander around anywhere. But to restore is to bring it back to who really owns it.
Amen.
Amen. Friends, I want to ask you some questions this evening. Who really owns joy? I want to ask you some questions this evening. Who really owns joy? Who really owns overcoming power? Who really owns healing? I want you to answer me this evening. Who owns it? And if you are not owning them, then that means it's gone away from the rightful owner. And this evening, you have a right to enforce it back to its right owner. You have a right to enforce it back to its rightful owner this evening. Amen. You have a right. Amen. This is not for the preacher. This is for you. You have a right to enforce it and say, Satan, you give it back. Amen. I believe this evening we can rise up from the ashes that we've been in. We can rise up from our condition that we've been in. We can rise up out of our situation that we've been in. We can rise up out of the shackles that we've been in and say, Satan, I am taking it back. Satan, I am claiming it back. Oh, hallelujah. I want you to remember one time, amen. I said, I am closing, but I'll be closing soon, amen. But I want you to remember one time that those locks could only grow back on Samson's head.
Amen.
Come on, church. Those locks could only grow back on Samson's head. There was no other head in the land of Israel, on the land of the Philistines, on which those locks could grow back again. There was only one head. Oh, glory be to God. There was only one head that could receive those seven locks again. And there is only one group of people. Oh, hallelujah. And then this year, there is only one group of people that can receive the restored word of God again.
Amen.
Oh, come on, church. There is only one people. You are the predestinated one. You are the predestinated one to receive it back. You are the predestinated one to your healer. I want you to know something. The condition that you are in has been given to you for you to overcome it. Amen. It's the sickness that you've been in has been given to you for you to overcome, because you are the only one who has been predestinated to defeat that enemy. God has chosen you to defeat that enemy that you're fighting in your life. You are the one. You are the only one on which head the restoration can come to you to defeat that enemy. You are that only one. There is no one else. You are that predestinated one. There is no one else. But what are you going to do? Are you going to rise up from your ashes? Or are you going to bow your head and say, let me be defeated with the Philistines? Oh, friend, Samson didn't have that attitude. Samson said, even though I am banged, even though it looks like it's the end, even though it seems that everything has gone wrong, but I am not going to bow my head in shame, but I'm going to lift up my head from whence my help cometh from, and I'm going to say, once more, Lord, once more, restore back the strength that I had, restore back my healing, restore back and the joy that I've lost in my life. Once more, Lord. You've got a right this evening. You've got a right this evening, amen. Tell your friends, we've come to a showdown this evening. We've come to a showdown this evening. It is the end of the year, and there is a showdown this evening. You see, all the enemies that tormented you in 2021, they've come together just as the lords of the Philistines gathered themselves together. Amen. You know what's happening this evening? All the lords of family problems are gathered around you this evening. Come on. All the lords of depression, they've gathered around you this evening. See, they want to enter into 2022 with you again. Oh, my. They've gathered themselves around just like the Philistines gathered themselves around Samson. They've gathered themselves around the laws of depression. They've gathered themselves around you this evening. Amen. The laws of sickness, they've gathered themselves around you this evening. The laws of failures have gathered themselves around you this evening. Amen. They've all gathered themselves. The laws of the complexes and all that and anxiety, they've gathered themselves around you this evening. You see, they've gathered themselves thinking that this evening they are going to make sport of you and they're going to make fun of you. Amen. They are thinking that they are going to go into 2022 with you once again. And they've gathered themselves right on the 21st of December, the last day of 2021. And they are thinking that we are going to go in 2022 with Brother Vlad. We're going to go in 2022 with the Kadango family. We're going to go with the Popovich family, with the Tenenga family. But we're going to go in 22 with them. Oh, but you're failing to see one time. Yeah. He is failing to see one time this evening. Now, there is no way that he is going to find the secret of this bride at this time. Amen. They might be gathered around you this evening. But what I tell you one time, the one thing that the Philistines are failing to see is that the locks are growing again. The one thing they're failing to see is that Christ is revealing his mystery and himself to his bride in this last age. I want you to realize one time, Satan is never going to find the secret of this bride. You say, why? Because at the opening of the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for 30 minutes. And no one knew what was spoken, but the bride is the only one that knows what was spoken. When the bride said, the third bull will not be a public show, it is a secret to the bride. You are the only one that knows the secret. Satan doesn't know the secret. He doesn't know the secret. Only you know the secret. Oh, I tell you this evening, why don't you rise up? Why don't you rise up out of your ashes? Why don't you lay your two hands on the pillars this evening? Why don't you lay your hands on the pillars this evening? Come on, church. Are you really receiving it this evening? Are you ready to die with the loss of the Philistine this evening? Then why don't you stand on your feet? If you're ready to die with the loss of the Philistine this evening, then you stand on your feet. You stand on your feet this evening. And you lay your hands upon those pillars this evening. Amen. You lay your hands upon those pillars this evening. Remember all the loss of feathers that gathered around you this evening. Amen. They all gathered around you. The loss of depression and the struggles that you've been through in 2021. They're all gathered around you this evening. But you've got a purpose. Amen. You can lay your hands upon those two pillars this evening. And you've got a right to say once more, Lord. Amen. Once more, Lord. Amen. I am going on this new year. I am saying once more, Lord. Amen. Restore back to me the joy that I have lost. Amen. Once more, Lord. Restore back to me the healing that I have lost. Once more, Lord. Restore back to me the faith that I have lost. Once more, Lord. Amen. You lay your hands upon the pillars this evening. Friends, I'm not talking about an emotion. I'm talking about the power of God this evening. And the power of God is present in your home this evening. He's moving in your living room this evening. You can get a hold of it. You can get a hold of it this evening. And say it once more. What is your need? What is your cry? What is your desire? What do you need from the Lord? If you're standing out this evening and you need to think on your ways, start thinking on your ways. Start thinking on your ways because God is ready to let all the Philistines crumble at your feet this evening. Remember that the scripture says that the Philistines that Samson killed that day was more than what he killed in his entire life. And you have been through your entire life for 50 years, for 30 years. And Satan has been there and he has been tormenting you this evening. You can say, this is the end, devil. You've got a right. You can speak the word. Friends, we're living in a season that the word has been restored. It's been put in your mouth. You have taken the book. You have been in the book. Now prophesy again. Prophesy again. We're living in a season of the spoken word. You've got a right to speak the word and believe the word, and it'll come to pass. Oh, let's move from the realms of day this evening. Lay your hands upon those pillars this evening. Lay your hands upon those pillars this evening. Amen. And you can say, Satan, no more. Amen. Satan, no more. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. What is your need this evening? What is your cry this evening? He is here. He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. He is here to restore back whatever the enemy has taken away from you. Amen. Oh, Heavenly Father, as we come to the end of this service, we just want to say, Lord, we thank you, Lord. Lord, you are a present and living God, Lord. But Father, you have not changed, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, Lord. And Father, we believe that this evening you are moving in homes, the Lord God. That you're moving in situations, Lord God. Father, we're not here to limit us to settle down with nothing less but a victory this evening, Lord. And Father, we ask in the Lord, whatever be the need, Lord, whatever be the cry, of God. Father, we pray that you move in a sovereign way, O Lord God. And Father, those that have taught on your ways, O Lord God. Father, we pray, O Lord God, that you forgive us of our sins, O Lord. You forgive us of our iniquity, our wrongs, O Lord. That we have been and we have done in 2021, Lord. Father, we ask that you bring us to the full righteousness, O Lord. You bring us is to not perfection that you spoke about, Lord. The Father, we may step into that dimension, Lord God. That we may step into that faith, Lord, and claim what is ours, Lord God, with no fear, with no doubt, Lord God. But speak the word and believe the word and see it come to pass, Lord. Father, we pray that you anoint your people, Lord God. Whatever that has been spoken, Lord God, in the hearts of the people, Lord God, by an audible voice, Lord God. Father, we ask that you will grant it exceedingly and abundantly above what have been asked or even taught of, Lord God. May you glorify your name this evening in the service, Lord God. We thank you for your presence, Lord God. Your word has come forth out of seed, Lord God. We pray that you will water it, Lord God, that you will grant the increase, O Lord, and it will be something, the Lord, O God, we will remember tonight and forget tomorrow, Lord. But Lord, we will leave it, O Lord God, that the word may become a life that is living on the inside of us, O Lord God. We ask you this evening, Lord God, we just want to say thank you, Lord. We just want to say we bless your name, O Lord, and that you are worthy of all, Lord God. We thank you for being our Mr. Lord God. May you glorify your name as we come with all these things to you. In the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord bless you, saints. Amen. We trust in the Lord to grant the increase to the word that has been spoken. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you, Rich. I'll turn the service back to the pastor. Amen. Or whatever it is, but I'll give it back to the pastor. Amen. God bless you.
Saints, I think it's wonderful now for us to come to a time of prayer. I think the Lord has spoken to you. He's spoken to me. So before we had continue on doing anything else in any human program, friends, when the Lord speaks to you, it is imperative for you to speak back to him. That's all he's looking for, is a response. So whatever the Lord has spoken to you, I just put it down here to say, now has the devil in some way, as Brother Max was preaching so wonderfully there, has he discovered that secret inside of your life this year? Did you start well and you didn't finish well? You know, there's certain things, like the brother was saying, that did Satan find that door in your life where there was no blood, where you didn't have the blood upon it? Well, it's time, friends, to put the blood once again upon this evening, to think on our ways, as he was saying. Let's look back at the year. Thank the Lord for the good things. But friends, let's learn from the things which maybe weren't so good, so we might be more effective in this year that lays before. So whatever the Lord has spoken to your heart, let's just come to a season of prayer, each and every one of us, to seek the Lord and to thank him for his grace and respond back to what the Lord has spoken to us. Let's all pray.